Welcome to the High Hopes Phillies Minor League Rundown. I'm Jason Springer here with Jeff Cohen, excited to start another season following the journey of the players chasing their dreams in the Phillies farm system. Jeff, it's baseball season. I don't even need to ask you how excited you are to be back. Did you sleep last night?
I did a little bit, but I am like a little boy.
You've been dreaming of lineups in your head, haven't you?
Yeah, and look, the Phillies, not only the Phillies major league team, obviously there's excitement around that, but the minor league system is going to be stacked this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time up and down the Philly system. They've got players on their rosters that are moving up. We followed a lot of them last year. It was good to see them. Jeff, why don't we talk about it? We were down in Clearwater a few weeks ago, hanging out at spring training, doing some interviews right in the middle of all the fun.
So if anybody has any doubt whatsoever about how excited we are, we counted the players down there. So there were 196 players in minor league camp.
Yes. How's that breakdown, Jeff?
109 pitchers, 20 catchers, 42 infielders, 25 outfielders.
Were you one of them?
I wish, but...
Were you a water boy?
No, I couldn't even do water
Come
boy.
On.
Come on. There's no way.
In total, there are 350 players in the organization, which includes the Dominican camp. We had a chance. We'll have an interview coming up in a future show with Josh Bonifay. We actually played that on our Heart of Sports show a few weeks ago from spring training. He's the new director of player development. It was really interesting to talk to him about where players should start the season and his path to getting to the organization.
He also has probably the hardest job to date. Think about it. He's got to take all of those players and figure out, with coaching staffs, but figure out where everybody's got to go, where everybody is best for development, where everybody fits with in relation to everybody else, and kind of planning their path to the major leagues as to what the Phillies have in their major league camp.
You could tell his excitement, though. I really enjoyed getting to talk to him. I think our listeners will enjoy that when they hear the interview.
Nobody will ever call him low energy.
No, he will definitely not be low energy. And they've done some movement in the system in terms of their managers on the teams at the different level. Why don't you go through for me how the coaching staff shuffle ended up this season?
Is that a new dance? Is that like the Icky shuffle or the Super Bowl shuffle?
I don't dance, but if you want to, it's all on you.
I am pleased that they kept most of the coaches. They juggled them around, and as we discussed with Josh, it's something that I thought maybe you promote the coaches. I was wrong. The way that they actually do it is where those coaches fit in relation to talent and where they think their strengths are with regard to helping these players get to the next level.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was based more on the skill set as opposed to time of service. You think you move in the system and you kind of move up the system like you do as a player.
Yeah.
But for them, it's based on who can do the best job for the players that are in that part of the organization to help them develop and move to the next level.
Yeah, so with that in mind, we have Gary Jones, who won the International League North title for the first time with the Iron Pigs last year, will return. We will see him hopefully next week at the 2-2-2 showcase between the Iron Pigs and Reading.
Tell me about that. For people who haven't been to a game and don't know about that, what is that?
It's before the season starts, they decide that they're going to have a game between the Reading Fightins and the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. So it's
your
chance
to see. Is it open to the fans?
Yeah, and I think it's $6 a ticket. So if I were you, I'd get there. You get a chance to see as many prospects as you're ever going to see in one stadium. So it's a great chance to get to know the upper levels of the system.
And High Hopes will be there. We'll be doing some interviews, taking in the game, and getting excited for baseball just like everybody else.
Yep. And so with Jones, we have moving from AA to AAA pitching coach Steve Schrank, who was at AA last year.
We had so much fun talking to him last year. And for our listeners, if you want to catch the interviews from last season, we did almost 60 interviews. They're all available on our website, highhopesphils.com. Still, you can catch the interviews we've done. You can catch the interviews that we get going forward. You can really learn about all the players in the system.
In fact, all the coaches that I'm about to finish talking about were interviewed last year, and we'll continue to interview them this year and talk about their new staffs. That includes Greg Legg, who was the manager at AA last year and has been through the system up and down. He's going to be with AAA as well. Then you go to Reading. Sean Williams, the son of the famous manager Dick Williams, is returning, only he is moving from Clearwater to Reading. With him, he will bring their pitching coach from the Threshers, which is Aaron Fultz. Clearwater, Marty Malloy, formerly of the Lakewood Blue Cause, will be joining Clearwater, along with his pitching coach from last year, Brad Burgesson, who the players at Lakewood raved about.
And look, they did a job last year. You called them the ace clause all season, that pitching staff, that team last year. The kids in Clearwater are going to be really lucky to have those guys there working with them, helping them develop.
And Burgesson's going to be lucky to have that kind of talent with him.
Without a doubt. I mean, we'll go through, obviously, the players aren't finally assigned everywhere yet, so we'll go through a little bit of that, where they're going to go later in the show, and then have it in coming weeks. But it's going to be a great opportunity for some of the players to help develop.
Then we have the new kid on the block, which is Mike Micucci. Mike comes from the Mariners organization. We had a chance to talk to him during spring training. He's actually a local guy. He went to Monmouth.
How many ticket requests do you think he's going to get?
He's going to have a lot of people at those games, and I think cheering him on and also giving him a hard time.
And then your buddy's back in Williamsport again this year, Jeff.
Pat Borders, former World Series MVP, is returning to Williamsport for the short season A season. Pat, again, another guy we talked to last year and we talked to in spring training, and Pat loves grooming the young guys. It is amazing to see how much energy this guy has for and passion for kind of taking these guys under his wing, tough love when it's needed, encouragement when it's needed. He really is a great manager.
Yeah, he's more like a proud parent.
Yes.
who will do that, which is ironic because he can basically field his own team with nine kids. So
he also has a little bit of an edge to him, which
does.
I love.
He does, and we'll have more with him as the season goes on, and mm-hmm. I think that our listeners will enjoy getting to hear from all of the managers. And let's talk a little bit again about the goal of the show for us is to really give people an inside look at the journey that these players, these coaches, these people involved in the organization are taking, the struggles they have every day, the successes that they have. And these managers are great people to be able to talk to and get insight from what's going on.
Minor league baseball, more than any other sport, is a chance for you to see the journey, to follow the journey. It's a long process that you go through as a baseball player, and people just don't realize that you don't become a major league baseball player overnight. It takes years of learning how to make your craft as good as you can get, and even then it's a struggle to get through to the major leagues. And I think that this show and I think that the minor leagues show you what that journey is like.
Well, we're excited to follow the players on that journey, and we got to talk to one of them in spring training who we watched last year. He's the tallest player in the Phillies system, Jeff.
You had to go there. Huh?
Look, I'm a short person, okay?
Uh-huh.
I can't get over the fact that of tall people. I know you're taller and you don't like those tall comments. But I, on the other hand, marvel at his ability. I mean, he's so fluid for, you know, the skill set that he has. And we talked to Kyle Young, who's the 7-foot-tall pitcher in the system. And, you know, it was interesting to have the conversation with him about everything.
I agree. The one thing I will say about height as it relates to Kyle and why it's important is because the taller that you get as a pitcher, the harder it is to repeat your delivery. There's more movement in more body parts, longer body parts, and it becomes very hard, which is why you don't see very tall pitchers. You also don't see, as Kyle mentioned, you don't see very tall hitters because you have a bigger strike zone. Yes.
So, I enjoyed that comment, by the way.
Yeah, but so
see, I finally found something good about being short.
You have a very tiny strike zone.
Yeah, come on, pitch it.
Well, instead of us talking about Kyle, why don't we just play Kyle's interview?
Let's go to the interview and then we'll come back. We are here at spring training with pitcher Kyle Young. How you doing today?
Doing good.
Getting out a little bit early today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's nice.
How many of these half days do you get?
Not too many.
Yeah, I mean, I call it a half day, but at the time we're doing this, it's 2:00, and you've been here since what, 5:30 this morning?
Yeah, just about. Yeah, I mean, so once games start kicking up, then it'll be pretty much till 4 every day, but just enjoying it.
So what's the experience like? Is this your second spring training?
This is my third.
Okay.
This is my third spring training.
What's, if there's anything different, what's this experience been like versus your first out?
I mean, there's been a little things different here and there, but not much. It's still the same kind of quality and same structure. So, I mean, it's been the same.
How exciting is it for you to be in camp and be here this time of year? You obviously work real hard in the offseason. You learned so much last year. You get to bring it back this year and try and implement it on the field. What's it like for you to get out there and get things going?
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. I've been looking forward to it for all offseason, especially since last year was a tough one. You know, got hurt twice, so I was ready to come back stronger this year.
What did that teach you? We often talk about the journey that players have, and it's not a straight line. There's ups and downs, especially in baseball, as in all sports. You dealt with some injuries. What was that like to sort of overcome them and at the same time be patient with yourself so that you didn't push it too hard?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot. You know, like during the time, it was, you know, you just had to focus on, you know, today's today and tomorrow's tomorrow, and you just got to grind through it. But, I mean...
I always enjoy when other players come by and make our guys laugh.
Just so the people listening, because this is not on television, this is on the radio, just so everybody knows, Kyle's not laughing at Jason. Well, he might be.
I mean, look, people do it all the time, so you wouldn't be the only one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but he's laughing at Connor.
Yeah.
Okay. He's laughing at Connor over there making some faces.
All right, so I have a question for you, because I'm going to try to make you feel a little better about being around this complex.
Sweet.
I'm going to confess to the fact that as a child, I grew up as a Mets fan. Which I understand you did as well.
Yes, I did.
There you go.
Not anymore.
Why are you bringing that out for on the Phillies radio show?
I wanted him to feel at home because it's got to be. I mean, look, you grow up on my part. Exactly. You grow up your whole life playing baseball, rooting for a team, and then you get drafted by another team.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure that there were times as a kid that you wanted to be like Tom Seaver or Dwight Gooden when he wasn't in trouble. Or
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And
loved
now,
Billy Wagner. Loved him.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
At that time, I was no longer a Mets fan. Yeah.
But you didn't always play just baseball. You were a basketball player, too, right?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit? How did you choose sports? Because we often talk about sports specialization and whether it's one sport or multiple sports and the different things that you learn. How did you decide that baseball was the path for you? And do you think it was helpful that you played multiple sports growing up in terms of your development?
I definitely think it was helpful. I think all players should really do it. You know, it's just to test it out. You get different athletic skills from every sport. You know, basketball's a lot of lateral movements, agility, so I was able to bring that to baseball. And then, I mean, I think it's great, you know.
Was baseball your first love in terms of sports, or did you come to love it as you went on?
Yeah, I always loved baseball first. So kind of even since I was young, I always knew I liked it more.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So.
Did you always know that you were going to be a pitcher, or did you play a different position?
I mean, I knew pretty early, but I played first base back in the day. But even in high school, I was just a pitcher.
you knew what you'd do.
I knew. Strike zone's too big.
So I got a question. Charlie Manuel says that you're in a better position in your career than Randy Johnson because your arm angle is smoother. When you hear something like that from a guy named Charlie Manuel, what's that do to you? What's your reaction?
Shocking. Definitely shocking, you know.
Had you heard
like that
before?
No, never heard that before.
Now he's not going to be able to get his head through the doorway.
Now Connor's going to be over there giving him a harder time about everything.
No, but, I don't know. Randy Johnson is one of the best to ever do it. So,
how cool is that,
like
though?
That, just be brought up like that.
To be mentioned.
I'm not like him, in a sense. You know, I don't throw like him. We're not really similar besides the tall and the lefty part, but that's a great compliment. That's awesome.
How has the adjustment been in terms of when you're out there on the mound, getting used to working with the catchers and having them understand your throwing repertoire and what you like to do and putting your trust in them and how they will call the game for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like hard or anything. Usually before the game, you'll sit down with the catcher that's catching you and you'll just kind of go over the hitters and their lineup. You'll go over your game plan, you know, and you'll get on the same page with him before the game so you don't run into any problems.
You grew up in Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a chance last year to play in Lakewood, which isn't that far from that.
No, that was nice.
What was it like to play close to home and to have kind of family be able to come down and see you?
Yeah, it was really awesome. It's always nice seeing the people back home, of course. And even on an off day, you know, I was able to go home once or twice. And you know, it just really kind of makes it easier.
That Lakewood pitching staff was crazy.
Jeff called you guys the Ace Claws. He would tweet all the time about it last season.
So we branded you the Ace Claws. Every time we came there, it was you, it was Will Stewart.
Yeah, Will, Dave Parkinson, Rosso, Spencer.
It just kept going.
Oh,
what was it like to play with that level of pitcher and and compete against them every day to see who was the best.
I mean, that was the most fun year, I think, ever when I was healthy. Because just every day you knew you were probably going to see something really cool. You know, you're going to see something fun, and you're going to see some great pitching, and it just kind of pushed you to be even better. And it was great competition, like, between us. You know,
did you have any games or anything to kind of push you to, you know, be better than the guy that was pitching before you?
You know, you always just want to go out there and compete. So,
So how much trash talk goes on between you guys when one guy goes up and one-ups another guy, and he's like, you're like top that?
I don't know if there's as much trash talk like that. You know, we just like to mess around with each other a lot.
I was gonna say that didn't seem like a trash talking group.
We all like each other. Yeah. So.
You guys were
we're more fun.
You guys were professionals about it. You went about your business.
Pretty free and easy.
Yeah, you seemed to really
not too tense or anything.
What was it like to be a part of that team like that? I mean, it seemed like that was a special team all around last year.
It was very fun. Like I said, it was just a free and easy clubhouse. You know, everyone was always happy and having fun because of the winning part.
Even with Coach Malloy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was he like to play for?
Awesome. Yeah? Awesome, yeah. It's a player's coach right there. You know, he's stern, but he will back you up.
We got the stern part.
Yes.
We've got that.
Yeah. But, you know, he's got your back every single day. Doesn't matter.
And how about Coach Bergeson? He was your pitching coach last year. Everybody that we talked to last year seemed to rave about the way that he communicated with you guys.
Yeah, he was awesome. You know, he really, you know, I think he played a big part in our success, of course.
What was it about his method of coaching that led to all you guys taking to him?
I'd say just a lot of attention to detail and kind of being like a little laid back in a way and like letting us fail sometimes in a bullpen or in a game and then being like, all right, you know, you saw what happened. Now let's try to fix it. And then we were able to just kind of keep that rolling.
When you're not here at the park, you're getting out a little bit early today. What do you do to unwind when you're not playing baseball?
That you can tell us about.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we don't do anything crazy now, that's for sure, but I'm a big golfer. I love to golf. You know, it's hard.
Well, it's good down here in Clearwater. You got plenty of places to go and play.
Plenty of places, so I like doing that. And then video games, you know. Whole nine yards.
Oh, which video game?
Fortnite.
Uh-oh.
A lot of it.
Oh, so you would have liked it when they had Fortnite up on the big screen at Lehigh Valley last year.
So cool.
Were you there for that?
No.
You'll have to talk to Cole Irvin about that. He's playing on Twitch all the time his gaming, so you'll have to follow him out there with it.
Yeah, a lot of us play.
What's the anticipation like to get through spring training and to get the season started for you? Is it one of those you take this for the opportunity that it is, or it's like, get this over with and let's get back up and get the games going?
I mean, we're definitely ready to get the games going, but I wouldn't say like we're, you know, anticipating it or just kind of like looking forward to it, because you got to be locked in every day kind of thing. You got to make sure that you're performing in spring training and not getting too far ahead of yourself.
If you were to make the majors, you'd be the first 7-foot-tall major league pitcher. How often do you get asked about that? Jeff didn't want me to
one
ask.
One more time.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not what you would call tall, so Jeff didn't want me to ask.
As a tall person, not
Jeff didn't want me to ask a height question, but I can't not.
Oh, you have to.
You have to ask it. What is that?
I'll take care of him.
What's that like for you? Well, you shouldn't have put it in the notes then, Jeff. I took it off your notes. But what's that like for you to know that would be something that you would achieve if you did that?
That's really cool. You know, just to be able to say something like that, like, it's a cool little thing. It's nothing I would look into, you know. It's just kind of like a little side note for other people. But, yeah, I get asked a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere I go.
So move on.
You go ahead, move on. You got a mic, too. Go ask a question.
I'm used to it now, though. You get used to it over the years.
Yeah.
You know more than anyone.
All right, so what's the best golf course you've played? What's your favorite?
Innisbrook. Yeah. Copperhead. Yeah, that course is beautiful.
Nice.
What's so great about it?
It's extremely hard.
Yeah? Have you played Bethpage?
No, actually.
No?
Yeah.
How are
you a Long Island guy?
How do you not play Bethpage?
It's usually cold when I'm back there.
Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah. I'll accept that.
But this offseason, I told myself, I got to get it done.
All right.
Definitely going to
PGA's going to be there this year.
That's right. We're going.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's
we're awesome. Covering it. Yep.
Go Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't thank you enough for the time. We wish you the best luck. We really enjoy following your journey. And
thank you.
We appreciate what you gave us, and we look forward to seeing you out there doing your thing.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
best of luck with everything.
All right. Appreciate it.
So it was a great interview with Kyle Young. We don't know where he's going to be. I have my suspicions that he'll be at Clearwater. You never know. He could get to Reading, but I suspect that he will start the season at Clearwater. That leads to the next question. We don't have the magic sheets with the rosters yet.
And for our listeners, we're not done with Kyle Young yet,
mm-hmm.
because we'll have an interview with Connor Brogdon where we have Kyle and Connor having a little conversation back and forth about the merits of high school versus college baseball and many other things, right, Jeff?
Yeah, they have a very good relationship. They were hanging out together after practice one day, which is when we grabbed them for interviews, and they seem to have a great relationship. It would be great to see them in the same team.
It would be fun.
Because they will have a lot of fun together, and I think we can have a lot of fun with them.
Without a doubt. So we'll get to the other pitchers, but I did want to mention that we do have that fun thing coming up, too, in the future.
Yep. But at this point, all we can do is project.
Who's going where, Jeff? Tell me what you think.
So I think the best thing to do, at least for today and the limited time we have left, is to discuss the upper levels pitching. To that extent, we have Lehigh Valley, which is the highest level. It's AAA. And they have a glut of really good pitchers who have some major league experience with the Phillies last year. First, you have Jared Eichhoff. Jared Eichhoff clearly is going to be the number one starter. Well, you know what? I say clearly, but I'm not sure because
Is it clear?
I don't know if Cole Irvin, because of his season last year at AAA, whether he will get the first start. But Jared has the most major league experience. But for an injury, he would be on the starting five for the Phillies. So Eichhoff is going to be somebody that's really there in case somebody falters. He'll be the first person up as long as he's healthy. Then you have Cole Irvin, who was the Phillies pitcher of the year. Cole had a great season last year for the Iron Pigs, 14-4, 2.57 ERA, and 1.05 whip. He just seems ready, and I'm sure he's going to be chomping at the bit to get to the major leagues. And quite frankly, I would like to see him there because he's a lefty, and the Phillies don't have any lefty starters. And
they're a lefty starter, Chef?
I know. Now, I'm a lefty, so I'm a little biased, but I'd like to see just one.
What about Eniel De Los Santos? We saw him a little bit last year with the Phillies, saw what he was able to do. What are your thoughts on him?
When he was with the Iron Pigs, he was 10-5, 2.63 ERA, 1.42 whip. The whip is a little bit high, which is what concerned me last season. I think Eniel is probably a back-of-the-rotation starter, but I think you have Eichhoff and Irvin ahead of him. Plus, you have the other two guys that are going to be in the starting five. When you have Drew Anderson, who has dominated in spring training this year, and
he really has opened some eyes in spring training. He allowed one run and struck out 12 in 12 and two-thirds Grapefruit League innings, putting himself in definitely a position for an early call-up if they have any arm troubles.
Yeah, and last year it wasn't like he wasn't good last year. He was 9-4, 3.87 ERA, 1.16 WHIP last year. So he's developed a new pitch. He's been working with it, and it really worked during spring training. So you have him, and then you have Ranger Suarez, who also came up to the Phillies last year. He was 6-3, 2.75 ERA, 1.18 WHIP, and that was between AA and AAA. They moved him a lot quicker than I thought.
So where does Tom Eshelman fit now?
You know what? That's going to be a tough one. Tom Eshelman is one of those guys that came over for the Astros in that big trade a couple years ago. His 2017, he was 10-3, and then last year he just fell off. He was 2-13, 5.84 ERA. You got to wonder if there was an injury there that we just didn't know about. I don't know, but he's a sixth starter, which leads to the problem of where does JoJo Romero go?
I was going
to
say, and he's going to have people knocking on his door. You've got JoJo Romero, who may start in Reading, may start in Lehigh Valley, but he definitely has stuff that they're watching in this system.
Right. Now, so the question is, what do you do with JoJo? You already have Eichhoff, Irvin, De Los Santos, Anderson, Suarez to start the staff. If you go with a six-man rotation, which who knows? Maybe they do that. JoJo is clearly the guy, but I don't know what they do with Eshelman unless they move him to the bullpen.
So let's say that they leave JoJo in Redding, and their season starts next Thursday, the 4th, against the Portland Sea Dogs, the Red Sox affiliate. Obviously, you can catch the High Hopes Phillies minor league rundown leading into that game at 5:15, and you can catch us every week leading into the Redding game that week. The time may adjust based on the start time of the game, but we're going to be doing the lead-in for that. But let's go over some of the crazy good arms that they've got at Redding potentially now, Jeff.
You got Connor Siebold, who we interviewed during spring training. He was 5-8, 4.28, with a 1.11 whip between Clearwater and Redding. But he got his sea legs under him.
Yeah, the record's a little deceiving. And we had talked to him right after his first tough start when he had moved up. And you can see him starting to figure it out and get more comfortable. And he's a guy, you know, we talk about the head versus the body. He's a Cal State Fullerton guy, sports psychologist. He's somebody to watch. He's kind of got it in place a little bit.
It's one of those things where, you know, when we got to Redding and interviewed him right after he came up, they were saying, you know what, maybe we moved him too soon. But, you know, the people in the organization knew to push him, and he met the challenge.
He absolutely did.
I think he's going to do great there. Then you have Adonis Medina, who is one of the top prospects in the organization pitching-wise and was the guy that the Phillies did not want to get rid of when they were talking about trading for Machado last year.
We didn't even mention the Paul Owens Award winner last year, David Parkinson, who we talked with. We aired that interview on our Heart of Sports show. I mean, Jeff, they're stacked.
Yeah, David Parkinson last year, 11-1, 1.45 ERA, 1.01 whip between Lakewood and Clearwater.
David Parkinson is the 11th or 12th pitcher that we just mentioned in the list.
Yeah, and the question is whether he'll start the season at Redding, because it's going to be between him, Mauricio Rivera, and Ramon Rosso. So if it were me, I would challenge Parkinson and move him up, but we'll see where he goes.
Who's in Clearwater, you think?
Clearwater? You got Kyle Young, and then you got who we ranked as the number one pitching prospect in the organization,
Spencer Howard.
You also have Ramon Rosso, who is the aforementioned guy who may be at AA, and Nick Fante.
Jeff, we're in our last minute, and you know the Phillies game should be finishing up as we are finishing this show. Can you talk a little bit about the hope of baseball at this time of year for a couple seconds?
Well, gee, for the Phillies, the hope is clearly there. Look what they brought in the offseason. To us, even though the hope is with the Phillies, our high hopes are to watch these young guys grow and then be the future of the Phillies as we move forward in the coming years.
That's right, and we look forward to people joining us on that journey. We'll be traveling around to Lakewood, to Clearwater, to Lehigh Valley, to Redding. Jeff will get out to Williamsport again.
You're not coming with me?
If I get to hang out with Pat Borders, I'm definitely
coming.
That's
right, you're coming.
That's going to be the last word for this week's show. Please catch us next week. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We'll be your lead-in every Thursday night to the Redding Phillies here on 610 ESPN. So we'll be back next week. Enjoy the ball games.